We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Messiah season. Go ahead. All right. We aren't just remembering Messiah came, but we're challenging ourselves to actually live out Messiah. Messiah, what is Messiah? Well, Messiah is over 300 prophetic promises made, and every one of them faithfully kept. Everyone say 300 promises. 300 promises. It's one thing to make a promise. It's another thing to faithfully keep the promise. Messiah is faithfulness. That's what Messiah is. So we too should live out faithfulness. Messiah is all about giving, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. We will make this season about what Messiah has done and what Messiah has given. And in return, we're going to give to others. We're not going to be selfish, but we're going to give. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I'm proud of everybody in Redemption for embracing the Messiah this season. Last week we told you about giving to the children's hospital, and you stepped up in a big way. Let's clap for that. Hey, I'm proud of that. Can I get real with y'all? People get proud of their church for weird things. You ought to be proud of your church for doing that, and you ought to brag on us this week. You ought to brag on, man, I'm so glad. People like to bag on churches. They like to say bad things, but you ought to just insert yourself in that situation. Say, hey, I know a church that loves people. I know a church that feeds people. I know a church that cares about people that they've never met in a faraway nation. Come to my church. Okay, do that. Do that. Please, for the love of the Lord, let's do that. I want to talk to you about three gifts. Everybody said three gifts. Three gifts came to the Messiah by the way of the Magi. Somebody name those gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right. So have you ever shopped for a newborn baby? Oh, my goodness. I have. I have many times, and I'm still not good at it. I'm terrible at it. But nowadays, you have fancy gift registration, right? And it actually tells you exactly what they want for the baby shower. I want to tell you that all the baby showers I've shopped for, none of them ever asked for gold, frankincense, or myrrh. They were not on any gift registry. Diapers, yeah. Cloth, clothes, pacifiers, yeah. But the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are pretty strange gifts for a baby. That is true now. It's true then. There was nothing normal about these gifts. These gifts reflect a threefold promise of Messiah. When we look at over the 300 prophecies, these prophecies have three specific characteristics. And they're represented in the gifts of the Magi. Isn't that neat? It's almost like God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right? And they were there right at the beginning of the story of Jesus on earth. Here are those three gifts personified, characterized. Number one, a conquering king. One of the gifts represents a conquering king. The other gift represents a suffering servant. The other gift represents God with us. Conquering king, suffering servant, and God with us. Can you say that with me? I want to get it in your head. Conquering king, suffering servant, God with us. The threefold promise of Messiah is revealed in these gifts. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they, the Magi, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. There are some people out there that will tell you Jesus is not to be worshiped. Some people out there will tell you only God is to be worshipped, and they don't believe Jesus is to be worshipped. I want you to know no one was struck dead when they worshipped Jesus there. No angel came and hit them aside the face because they were worshipping Jesus. Can I tell you, they were supposed to worship Jesus. You were supposed to worship Jesus. And one day all the world will worship Jesus. My gosh, we're early to the party. We're worshipping him today. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're just early to the party, y'all.
Yeah.
Continuing on this verse, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to talk to you today about a gift of gold. Gold was and still is the currency of kings. The Magi's gift was a recognition of royalty, one of the major gifts you gave to a king in the ancient world, and even today, is gold. The Magi, who weren't followers of the God of Israel, y'all knew that, right? They were not, in fact, they were pagans. They were not followers of the God of Israel, but they looked at Jesus, and they saw what others did not see. He was born in a manger, but what did they see? They saw a king. He was born in a lower class working family, but they saw a king. He was born into a scandalous situation where the mother became pregnant before she was married, and she claimed that it was a virgin birth. And everybody was whispering, everybody was gossiping about this Mary, but they looked past all of that, and they saw a king. What do you see when you see Jesus? Do you see a king? Some people see Jesus today and they would make fun of him. Some people would insert his name in a curse word. Some people would laugh at you for coming today, but to worship Jesus. But what do you see? The Magi were men far from God, but they looked into that manger and they saw a king. When you see the Messiah, do you see a king? I want to tell you that Messiah is a conquering king, a wonderful prophecy from Daniel, a prophetic vision about the Messiah. You talk about some visions. Daniel had some. Daniel chapter 7, check this out. Two verses, verse 13 through 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Is Jesus Christ called the Son of Man?
Yes.
Oh, you bet he is. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, you just picture that for a second.
Jesus.
It takes a Hollywood production to do something like that. Coming with the clouds. He's like on the clouds coming to earth. Pick this out. God doesn't need any CGI to do this. He is going to do it. It's going to blow Michael Bay away. Michael Bay is going to go, my goodness, that's what I was trying to do my whole career. That kind of real spectacular picture. It's going to be Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven. Anybody believe it? He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. He was given what? Authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel is talking about the Jesus that you have met. Daniel is talking about the Jesus that you gave your life to. He hadn't met him, but you have. And his kingdom will never pass away. His kingdom will not be destroyed. He's got an everlasting dominion that will never die. He's a king like no other. There have been kings on this earth that have amassed great wealth and amassed great territory, but where are they now? They are dead. Their dominion has passed away. Where is the nation of Babylon now? Where is the nation of Persia now? Where is the nation of Greece now? Where are you? Where are these great, powerful people like Alexander the Great? Where are they? Their dominion has passed away, but we serve a king whose dominion will never pass away. There is much prophecy that describes Messiah as a conquering king. This is just scratching the very tip of it. The prophecies center on Messiah being a rightful heir to the throne of Israel, and that as king, he would defeat all of our enemies and reign in authority, power for eternity. All right? I want to tell you that a king should have lineage. King should have lineage. There is a lot of prophecy about the lineage of Messiah, the family line of Messiah. God told Abraham that through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. Isaiah 22 and 18 says that. and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This prophecy is ultimately filled in who?
Jesus,
the Messiah. So it's prophesied that the Messiah has to come through Abraham. Jacob, who was renamed Israel by God, receives a messianic prophecy. Numbers 24 and 17 says, a star. Everyone said a star.
A star.
Wow. A star. Is there a star in the Christmas story?
Yes, there is.
It's prophesied right here. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. So the family line has to go through Abraham. It also has to go through Jacob. This prophecy is interesting. I believe it refers the star that leads the Magi to our Messiah. It also ties into the prophecy of Psalm 2:9 that says Messiah will rule with an iron scepter. This prophecy, Numbers 24 and 17, tells us Messiah will be from the nation of Israel. All this comes together. There are all these messianic prophecies, and here they are. They're being fulfilled in our Messiah. Israel, Jacob, he has how many sons? 12 sons who form the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's prophesied that Messiah will come from a specific tribe. What tribe is that?
Judah.
The tribe of Judah. Messiah will come from Judah. Well, here's that prophecy. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter, sound familiar? Didn't we just talk about that?
Yeah.
We're talking about the kingly scepter of a conquering king. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, children, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. There is another reference to the scepter. It is symbolic authority of a king. It's kingly authority. That's what it is symbolic of. The scepter won't depart from Judah's lineage until he to whom it belongs shall come. From the beginning, that scepter belonged to our Messiah, the conquering king, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Messiah will be from the nation of Israel. He will be from the tribe of Judah. All the power and glory belong to King Jesus.
Yes.
The scepter's his. From the very beginning, it was his.
Jesus.
Before God ever talked to Abraham, the scepter was belonging to Jesus.
Yeah.
God, all the authority, it belongs to Jesus.
Yeah.
All the glory, it belongs to Jesus. All the power and all the honor and all the wealth and all the riches, everything, it all belongs to you. Does he have your scepter today?
Yeah.
He deserves the scepter.
Yeah.
If it isn't enough to prophesy the nation and the tribe of the Messiah, the Bible prophesies the very city of Messiah's birth.
Yes.
Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, O little town of Bethlehem. You know what? That song wasn't written before this prophecy. This happened hundreds of years, at least 400 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Prophecy declares the nation and tribe and also the city of Messiah's birth. What are you talking about, Chris? Here's what I'm talking about. You should know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is. You should have no doubt in your mind that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you. Now listen. I'm going to tell you this. That we can say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the reason for the season. And you can even nod and say amen that you believe it. But I want to tell you, you aren't really celebrating it until you are studying it.
Yeah.
And you are letting it prove it to you.
Yeah.
And you know these verses.
Yeah.
And you rejoice in them. That's a part of Messiah season. Far too often, we don't touch messianic prophecy. Far too often, people are like, yawn, yawn, yawn. Tell me when this is over and we can sing another Christmas carol. Do you understand that this is a part of Messiah season?
Yeah.
Do you understand that the whole earth, once man fell in the garden, was looking for the season that we are in right now? The hope of Adam and the hope of Eve, the hope of Job, the hope of Abraham. Abraham, the hope of David, the hope of Isaiah, you name everybody in the Old Testament, their hope was in Jesus Christ, and you got him. You have him. Praise God. God, we give you glory. The scepter is yours. All the glory and honor belong to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. My gosh. Now, I just gave you geographical constrictions to Messiah, people and place. Is that what I did?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's going to rule Israel, right? But what about Messiah's right to the throne of Israel? This is highly contested. My goodness, we just a huge series that played on television. It was called Game of Thrones. And that whole show was about, we are all going to kill each other because we think we have a right to the throne. And they're all trying to argue why they have a right to the throne. And they argue by killing each other with dragons and stuff. All right, so a king should have a right to the throne. So if Jesus Christ is a true conquering king, he has to be a legitimate king.
Right.
Not an illegitimate king. He's got to have a right to the throne. Can you prove that? Can you prove that right now? Well, that means that Messiah would be in the lineage of king of Israel. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16 is a prophetic promise to King David that God would raise up David's offspring. This offspring would come between two time periods. So now God's put a clock on it.
All right.
What are those two time periods? It's the time of the second temple. That between the building of the second temple and the tearing down of the second temple, Messiah is going to come. You see, that was in Israel's prophecy. That was in Israel's scripture. Can I tell you that Israel was shocked when the temple was torn down?
Yeah.
They're like, I never saw that coming. Because they weren't reading their word. They didn't have it in their heart. They were just casually looking over it. They thumped their chest like they were, I'm Israelite. Just like some people thump their chest saying, I'm Christian. I've got a bumper sticker that says Jesus is the reason for the season. Do you know that you know that you know that the word of God says that Jesus Christ is who he is? And does that excite you? Does that light you on fire? It ought to make you want to share that with somebody.
Yeah, all right.
So we're talking, I don't have this verse in front of you, but it's in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16. And between the building of the second temple, you had Solomon's temple. It was torn down by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. Then there is prophesied there's going to be a second temple. And between the time of the second temple's building and the tearing down of the temple in 70 AD, Messiah is going to come. Now, so that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. Also, it's prophesied that this offspring will build God's temple. Wait a second. So this is a totally different prophecy. That Messiah is going to build God's temple. That the offspring of David will build that temple and establish David's throne forever. Now, this is what's called a dual prophecy. Everyone say dual prophecy. It means that God is so big that he makes one promise and fulfills it twice. You get all low to that. I want to tell you that God's promises are so big that, Randy, he's going to make you a promise and just go ahead and fulfill it twice. You get that? My God, that makes me so happy. He fulfills it twice. He fulfills it the first time in David's son, Solomon. Solomon builds the first temple. But it's ultimately filled in Jesus Christ. Because when he returns to earth, he is going to bring down heaven's temple. There is a temple in heaven, and it's going to come out of the sky and come down to the earth. And this temple is going to establish David's throne forever, because Jesus is going to be sitting on that throne forever. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7. You ought to know this verse. You ought to know it just by by the reference of Isaiah 9. But you know it? If you don't, make sure, let's all read it together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I tell you what, we usually stop at verse 6, but verse 7 is pretty snazzy, isn't it? My goodness, I want you to get this picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a government like no one else. It has no end. You know what else has no end? The peace of that government.
Right.
What? Read that first verse. The greatness of his government and peace have no end. You know how governments become great in the world? They kill a bunch of people.
That's right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody comes and says, we got this land. We got this oil. We got this resource. We killed you and took all your stuff. Now we're greater. That's how the greatness of the world works. The world works like this. The greatness of the world's government and war has no end. But the greatness of his government and peace have no end. Do you know that Jesus Christ sets up his government in peace? That he has won you over. You are the greatest resource of all. And he's won you over not with war, but with peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Do you understand this about him? Messiah will be the child born in verse 6. It said, for unto us a child is born. Messiah will be the son given. It says a son will be given that will reign upon David's throne forever. The greatness, that government. And peace will have no end. The hope of everyone is Messiah.
All right.
The peace that you're looking for right now, we're praying for it, and God gives us little bits of peace, and it's great. We're so thankful for it. We testify of it. Oh, but when he comes, Charles, we're going to have a peace that never ends.
Amen.
Messiah is everything you're looking for. He's the provision you're looking for. He's the hope you're looking for. He's the life you're looking for. He's the redemption you're looking for. Everything you really need under the tree was hung on the tree.
All
it's
right.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My God. And he's going to reign with justice, righteousness, and peace. Jesus for president right now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Messiah is a conquering king. Jesus fulfills the prophecy of a conquering king. Matthew spends the first two chapters of his gospel account pointing out how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of Messiah. Matthew 1 and 1 gives the genealogy, the family line of Jesus. And when I see family line, I mean back to a guy called Adam.
Right?
Pretty impressive. Ancestry.com wishes they could do that for every person. It from Jesus all the way back to Adam. Matthew 1 clearly tells us Jesus was born of Abraham. Say Abraham.
Abraham.
Say Isaac.
Isaac.
Say Jacob.
Jacob.
Say Judah.
Judah.
Say Jesse.
Jesse.
Say David.
David.
I just gave you six names. This fulfills six separate messianic prophecies. We don't have time to read each scripture. Instead, we're going to post these scriptures on the screen and in our sermon notes on redemptionplano.com. Let's post those right there. Prophetic lineage slide. You have that? All right. We don't have them? All right. Well, six verses. All fulfilled in one lineage.
Yes. Amen.
It's impossible, except that it's supernatural.
All right.
In Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 33, an angel tells Mary that her son Jesus will be the conquering king who will take the throne of David. He will reign over Israel's descendants, and that his kingdom has no end. That's the fulfillment, and we're waiting on seeing the completion of that fulfillment. Jesus is the conquering king.
Amen.
Jesus is Messiah.
Yes.
And every promise of God is fulfilled in him.
Amen.
Every messianic prophecy and promise is fulfilled in Jesus. Not some of them.
All of them.
You know why the Bible spends so much time on that? It spends so much time in the Old Testament, and it spends so much time in the Gospels bringing out the fulfillment of this prophecy, is that you will know, that you will believe it, that you'll give your life to this. I want to tell you, Jesus is King. He is King. Jesus is the Messiah. He is that conquering King that Daniel prophesied would come. So what has he conquered? Oh, what has he conquered? Well, where do we start? Jesus conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. Jesus conquered demons. In fact, his very name causes demons to tremble. I'm telling you that when you speak his name, demons get up out of here when you speak his name. He's conquered demons. His very name conquers demons. Jesus conquered sickness. He conquered blindness and deafness, physical disabilities, disease, you name it. He conquered it. Jesus conquered fear. He conquered hatred. He conquered prejudice. He conquered racism. He conquered greed. He conquered hypocrisy. Jesus conquers the enemy. He conquers the enemy in the most amazing way. Through peace. He converts them. He redeems them. He saves them. Don't you know that we were his enemies? The scripture says this very clearly, that we were his enemies. He conquers his enemies. Jesus, you've conquered me. You've conquered my heart. You've won all of my affection. I belong to you. He doesn't destroy us like most conquerors. He restores us. He makes us like we thought we never could be. That's King Jesus. Look at somebody, say, he's talking about King Jesus. And it's one thing for him to do it, but don't you get it that when he is your king, that you too will conquer death. That you too will conquer sin. In Revelation, it says that he will invite us to sit on his throne and rule with him. There's one verse in Revelation. It says that we will have an iron scepter in our hand. Do you understand that the one with an iron scepter that has conquered all of this will hand you that iron scepter, and he will rule with you alongside him in his throne. Do you get how amazing that is? Do you get how awesome that is? What a great king.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but no other king has invited me to rule alongside him. Some of us are really loyal to politicians. Ha! I love you guys. I want to tell you, none of your politicians have ever called you up from the Oval Office and asked you, hey, Leroy, what do you think I ought to do about this whole thing here? No. Jesus Christ is going to sit you on his throne. He's not going to call you up. You're going to be on the throne. People are going to look up, and they're going to see the throne. They're going to see Jesus. Jeff, they're going to see you. Hallelujah. There's not a king like this. There's not a government like this. There's not a Messiah like this. Why in the world would we focus on anything else?
Amen.
So do you see him as your king? The Magi did, but the Pharisees didn't. The shepherds did, but the king Herod, he didn't. On the cross, Jesus was hung by two thieves, wasn't he?
Yes.
Did both of them see him as king?
No.
One thief recognized Jesus as king, and he said this, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other one just cursed him. all the way to his death. The other thief did not see Jesus as king. So do you see him as king? The Magi came to see Jesus. And we don't know exactly where they came from, but it's we kind of get an idea that they traveled about 900 miles. Not in a car, but if you were driving in a car 900 miles with children, oh, that would be the worst, Sarah. We should never do that. I don't think we'd make that trip, all right? They traveled 900 miles on like camels because they believed there was a king on the other side of a star.
Right.
My goodness. Let's look at Matthew 2 and 11 again. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're drawing to a close here, but I want us to have a holy moment in here. I just feel it. Your worship is spiritual. Worship is physical. Hands, singing, dancing. It's physical, but I want to tell you that your worship goes beyond the physical. And it is spiritual. It goes beyond the natural and it is supernatural.
Amen.
They worshiped this Jesus child. And as they worshiped, something happened and their treasures opened. I want you to get that picture. As you worship, your treasures open to the Lord. As we sing his praise, as we focus on him, as we truly call him king, the treasured things in our life just like open up before him. Have you ever felt that? When you worship Jesus, I want to tell you that you proclaim him as king. When you worship Jesus, that means the room that you're standing in becomes something more. The room you're standing in becomes a throne room.
All right.
That this room right here is nothing special. We got some laminate flooring on the floor. We got some cloth seats, and I'm thankful for them. Drywall on the walls. This stuff can be bought at Home Depot right now, across the street. But there is something that can't be replicated. When you worship Jesus, the room and the place you're standing in becomes a throne room where Jesus Christ is placed upon the throne from your worship. Your worship enthrones Jesus Christ. And when he is on the throne, that's when your treasure should open up. You see, you never greet a king empty-handed. But when you approach this king, it says that treasures open up. I'm telling you that treasures that are better than gold, treasures that are better than material wealth, open up inside of you, open up inside of your heart. Your treasure opening up, that's a part of your worship, actually. Doesn't the Bible tell us that? That when our treasure opens up, but when we give to the Lord, that's a part of our worship. This worship declares Jesus a worthy king.
All right.
When you worshiped him today, did you declare him a worthy king? You need to get that in your heart and in your mind when we're worshiping God together. When we're singing, "You Deserve It," those aren't just lyrics. We are proclaiming worth to Jesus Christ. Because they saw him as their king, they gave him the gift of gold. That declares Jesus a worthy king. Do you know how much gold is worth? I have in my hand 1.5 ounces of gold. Right there. It's actually chocolate coins. It's 1.5 ounces of chocolate coins. Our budget would not allow me to purchase 1.5 of gold bullion. Gosh, guys, I got to talk to that church board about stuff. Gold is worth $1,400 an ounce. 1.5 ounces would be worth $2,100 easy. 9 ounces of gold equals $12,600. Does that give you pause, that kind of money amount? Do you think Jesus Christ is worth that amount?
Yes.
Is there something in you that goes, no, that's a little too much. That's a little bit too extravagant of worship. Is that story in the Bible, by the way? You bet it is. That woman who worshiped him with the perfume. They said, no, this is too much. This is too extravagant. That's too much money. We need to save this money for some other reason. I want to tell you that he is worthy of gold. He is worthy of everything in your bank account. I'm not asking for everything. We're not taking up an offering. I'm telling you that he is worth it.
Amen.
That you have never put something in his hands that he wasn't worthy of. You, if the richest person in the world, Bezos, if he gave Jesus Christ every bit of his wealth, Jesus Christ would be worthy of that and so much more. Because he is a worthy king.
Yes.
When they brought that gift of gold, they brought their wealth and declared his worth. Do you really believe Jesus is Messiah?
Yes.
Do you really believe Jesus is king?
Yes.
Do you really believe that Jesus is worthy of extravagant worship and giving?
Yes.
I want to tell you this today. We're not taking up an offering. But I would like us to take up a worship offering. I wish we could just take up worship for him and just send it straight to heaven today to declare him worthy. I want us to make this room a throne room today. Could we do that? Because when you worship King Jesus, it becomes a throne room. These altars are open. I want to tell you, as you worship, that's where your treasures open up. God may put it on your heart to give something of yourself today. Something maybe in your wallet, but maybe something in your heart. Maybe something in your life. Maybe something in your schedule. Maybe something even in your house. As we worship, if you have need, I want you to come into the first 2 feet of this stage, and I want you to lift your hands. I believe that Jesus, the conquering king, is going to answer your need today because he is a worthy king. All over this house, come on, let's talk to God. Let's lift up hands. Let's give him extravagant worship in this place. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we give you glory, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Everyone watching, listening online, begin to worship God. Begin to pour out your heart to him in Jesus' name. Come on, church.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.